If you wish to follow along, I probably will not turn to many scriptures this morning, but if you wish to follow along, turn to Genesis chapter 7. Now, I realize we've been in Genesis for some several Sundays now, and I did not go through this in even a chapter by chapter, and I'm not belittling that. Please do not misunderstand me. But oftentimes I find for me, if I try to go verse by verse or chapter by chapter, I get bogged down. I'm just saying, I get bogged down. And I've simply been reading the first many chapters of Genesis, and as I see things, I write them down, and I've been trying to preach on them. But do not misunderstand me. I'm not saying that someone who tries to go verse by verse, chapter by chapter is wrong. But just so you know, that's why I've been bouncing around. Genesis chapter 7. And only you and one other small young girl will understand this, but hopefully this morning Poppy will not be all mad. But if Poppy is mad, that's just the way it is. Just get used to it if you plan on staying here. Genesis chapter 7. Think of the words as I read this verse. And the Lord, we know who that is. At least we have some inkling of who that is. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
There you go.
This is the God who created the universe. This is Jesus Christ. And the Lord said unto who?
Yeah.
Noah. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation.
Amen.
As you know, have no doubt been able to tell, but now I've been reading somewhat in the first several chapters of Genesis. When I read this verse about a week or so ago, maybe a little longer, this verse here stopped me in my tracks. Now, I'll give you something here, because I'm going to correct an error. I'm not saying I think every one of us here has had this error, but I know I've had this error. Maybe you've had this error. And I'll try to approach it in a way that maybe will help you. Maybe God will be pleased to help you to get what I'm trying to get at this morning. You ever watched the Noah movie? There's several of them out. There's a new one with Russell Crowe. There's older ones. Movies about Noah and the flood. When you watch those movies, who builds the ark? Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth. Am I right? Have you ever thought, when you read this, has it ever crossed your mind? Shem, Ham, and Japheth did not build the ark. Noah built the ark. I challenge you to find anywhere in this book where anyone other than Noah built the ark.
Exactly right.
I've been preaching the gospel, or trying to, Joe, for 30-some years. Was in religion most all my life. And never realized that until just a couple weeks ago. Never really realized it. There is no scripture for anyone else building that ark other than Noah himself. But I hear it. I hear it because I heard it in my own mind. Maybe you might hear it in your own mind. But that was so much work to build this box, this gigantic ark to hold all these animals and all these provisions and these 8 people. Surely Noah had to have help. That's the exact same thing, the exact same reason that all false Christianity has concerning Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And our salvation.
Right. Right.
That's so much work.
Yeah.
He, Jesus, must have at least some help. They had to at least hewn a board.
Yeah.
Find it in the book.
Exactly.
Find it in the book. I searched everything I could find.
Yeah, you're right.
And I read this first several chapters till Noah's over with. All I ever find is God, the Lord, said unto Noah, come thou and thy family into the ark. For thee, not your family.
That's right. Amen.
Not your family, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation.
Amen.
Now, if that don't ring your bell, you ain't got a clapper in your bell.
Amen.
Because it already ought to dawn on you what I'm talking about this morning. In all of Scripture, the only person that God ever spoke to in this time, when this ark was preparing, in all of Scripture, the only person God ever spoke. Now, Noah spoke to a lot of people. He was a preacher of righteousness. Noah preached Jesus Christ. Peter tells us that.
That's right.
He at least preached the Messiah.
Yeah.
He may not have preached Jesus Christ of Nazareth, but he preached the Messiah. In all of Scripture, in Noah's day, who did the Lord speak to?
That's
Noah, Noah only. Who did the Lord command to work?
Yeah.
Who did the Lord command to work?
Noah.
Who did God place as responsible for the deliverance that was to come?
There you go.
Noah.
Amen.
Who? Noah.
Amen.
By now you've probably at least gathered my title and my subject. Maybe not word for word, but here it is. Salvation wrought by one.
Amen.
Salvation wrought by one.
Amen.
Look at it again. And the Lord said unto Noah,
yeah,
come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Look at verse 5. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him.
Amen.
Has God ever been able to say that about you?
Exactly.
About me?
Yeah.
Be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, there's times I'd like to think that's true.
Yeah.
But it's not. You remember what the Lord told the disciples? Even when you've done all that's your duty to do,
exactly,
you're still to say, we are but unprofitable servants. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Look at verse 7. And Noah went in, and his sons.
Amen.
Do you see it?
That's right.
And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his son's wife with him.
Amen.
Do you see that? This just floored me. And somebody said, but it's the same old message, preacher. That's exactly right. It's the same old message.
Amen.
And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Look at verse 23. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping things and fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive. Do you see that? And Noah only remained. Why does it keep emphasizing this one man?
Yeah.
Because this whole book's about a message about one man.
Amen.
And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. You see that? Do you see that? Salvation wrought by one. Five. Six. No, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Let me open up. Seven quick thoughts. Noah walked with God. That's what it says. Noah walked with God. His family reaped the benefits of that.
Amen.
Huh?
Exactly right.
Right. Noah walked with God. It doesn't say Noah's family walked with God. It says Noah walked with God.
Amen.
His family reaped the benefits of that. There's a second thing. Noah built the ark.
Yeah.
His family reaped the benefits of it. Noah made it three stories high.
Yes, sir.
His family and even animals reaped the benefit of it. Noah made the window. Go back and read it. God tells him, you do this.
That's right.
Not you and your family do this.
That's right.
We don't work together with God to save our souls.
Amen.
Do you hear what I'm saying? That is the gospel. A man that's not preaching that Jesus Christ saved us by himself is not preaching the gospel.
Amen. That's right.
Noah built the ark. Noah made it three stories high. Noah made a window. Noah made the door. Noah pitched the pitch. Noah gathered the provisions. Go back and read it again.
Yeah.
It boggled my mind when I seen this. And there's still a part of me that says, Joe, there's got to be something more there.
Okay.
Put it out of your head.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you're confounding the type. You're confounding the picture.
Yeah.
It is your flesh rising up and saying, that's too much work for one man.
Mm-hmm.
Even in 120 years.
Yeah.
Not according to this book.
That's right. Amen.
And even on top of that, that was but type. Mm-hmm. Now that really happened. But that is but a type of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
bless God, He did it all by Himself.
Amen.
Christ did the work. His people reap the benefits.
Amen.
All of it. All of it. Christ wrought righteousness, not for Himself. He is the righteous God.
Amen.
He said of himself, I do always those things that please the Father.
Amen.
But he did wrought righteousness.
Yes, sir.
He worked out righteousness.
Yes, sir.
When he was here in his enfleshment as a man. And Christ wrought righteousness in both his preceptive obedience, that is his obedience to the commandments of God, even God's holy law that issued forth through Moses from Sinai.
Amen. That's right.
I have never been able to do that, and neither have you.
That's right.
And anybody's here who thinks they have, that God Almighty hasn't brought you to that place to where you see your need of Jesus Christ yet. I don't care how many aisles you've walked. I don't care how many professions you've made. I don't care how much you hold to Calvinism. You don't help Jesus Christ work out righteousness before God Almighty.
Amen.
Well, I believe the doctrines of grace. That don't give you righteousness before God.
Exactly.
I give up false religion and came to the truth. Did you come to Jesus Christ?
Amen.
As a helpless, sinful, corrupt beggar.
Mm-hmm.
And say, unless I get to go in the ark with you, I'm damned.
Amen.
My only hope of being seen as righteous before God is because of your actions, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But not only that, Christ wrought righteousness in his preceptive obedience, but he also wrought righteousness in his penal obedience as well.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
He didn't just work out a preceptive righteousness, he worked out the penal righteousness as well. That is, he suffered. He not only gained the merits, but he suffered for the demerits.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You understand? He not only wrought a righteousness that gives us great standing before God, but even that righteousness is not enough because of our sins.
Exactly.
Does not the old book say, the Old Testament say, that if a righteous man turns from his righteousness, that even his righteousness won't count for him?
That's right. Yes, sir.
Isn't that what it says?
Yeah.
And at best, my righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight.
Amen.
Aren't you glad it says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. So Christ wrought righteousness in both his preceptive obedience and his penal obedience. And bless God, those who are his family reap the benefits.
Amen.
We've lost it today. We've lost it today, especially in this country. I've been read a book that Paul and Paula gave me. It's a hard read. It's a difficult read. But many things were pointed out in my mind. But one thing that fits this. Here's an old preacher of grace back in the 1700s And men and women are crying out, how do I know if I'm really one of God's elect or not? How do I know if God really loves me or not? Because today, folks, everybody thinks God already loves them.
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody's concerned about whether they're... And these people get... Well, that's going to scare people off. Not the ones that God brings down on their face and shows them who they really are.
Amen.
They'll cry out, I must be one of God's elect or I'll perish. I must be a part of the family of God or I'm not loved of God. This book says God hateth all workers of iniquity.
Amen.
That puts me on the negative from the get-go.
Yeah.
That puts me on the negative from the get-go because, folks, this is the facts and this is the truth. I'm a worker of iniquity. Now, something happened about 30-some years ago that changed that desire in me, but I'm still, Joe, stuck as a worker of iniquity.
Exactly.
I need someone to stand in the gap for me. I need someone to be my righteousness for me.
Right, yeah.
Give ear this morning if you have ears. Just give ear. I'm going to give you just a few of Christ's works. And I start off with this one for a particular reason, and I will spend probably more time on it than any other, but be turning to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Now, let me preface my reading of this. One or two verses is all I'm going to read right now. There is a lot of opinion, and I'm included in one of them, still yet today. I have to fight against my opinions, even today.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of opinion in this world on all sides of the eschatological side of things. And that means future events, prophecy. A lot of preachers preaching the gospel. But there's a lot of opinion on all sides.
Yeah.
And almost every one of us think we've got a good lock on what it is. And the more I've actually been reading and praying, oh God, wipe out my opinion before me and help me just bow to the Word, because one thing is true. John sees this being here. And he says in verse 10, and I fell at his feet to worship him. See it in verse 10, Revelation 19? And he said unto me, see thou do it not. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. We're preaching Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our message is Jesus.
That's right.
Right? Isn't that what he says?
Yes, sir.
Look. Now, John knows he's getting prophecy here. Mm-hmm. He's been getting prophecy for probably days.
Yeah.
If this would all happen in one day. I don't know. I don't know. But John's getting things and seeing things that he at that time probably didn't even understand himself to a large degree.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's thinking, when's this all going to come to a head and I kind of get to the end and understand this all? Wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Now let me tell you something. God never gave him all that.
That's right.
But here's one thing he did give him. Look, I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren that have testified, that have the testimony of Jesus. We're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Amen.
I don't care. Now, people are going to tear this statement apart. I don't care how faulty a man may be in certain things he thinks he knows about eschatology. If he's preaching Jesus Christ, if he's preaching the gospel, that's what it's all about.
Amen.
Even though he may be wrong on this point or that point, when this happens or even if that's going to happen.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? If he's preaching the gospel. Now, here's the thing. It is easy for us. I don't care who you are. I don't care what part of the spectrum you are. There's all kinds.
Oh, yeah.
There's all kinds of millennialisms and no millennialisms. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Somebody says, what does this matter? Because we're talking about Jesus Christ. Here's the problem. I have found it to be true of myself, so therefore I'm sure it's probably true of a lot of other people. And I'm talking about God's people now. We generally have, already have in our minds, because of prior training, hearing prior, being under prior people, whatever it may be. We already think we got a good idea, at least in a general form, of how things are going to be.
Yeah.
We've already got our system in our head.
You're right.
And then we take this book, and as we read it, we make it fit our system.
Yeah.
All of us do it.
Yeah,
then listen, like I told you, I listen to almost two preachers 5 days a week. Just because I'm going to work and that's all I want something to listen to rather than the stupid radio with songs on it. I could care less about songs unless they're gospel songs. Now look at this. Verse 15. This is talking about Jesus Christ. This is who John saw here. He sees him coming on a white horse with armies. But I want you to think about this. Verse 15, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress in the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And there's ever only been one man that's ever been able to do that.
Amen.
You can't do that. I can't do that without being destroyed by God.
Yes, sir. That's
right. One man. That's what we're talking about. Salvation wrought by one. You can't tread the wine press of God's wrath, and neither can I, and neither can any man or woman.
Amen.
But here's one who can.
Amen.
But let me tell you, he did already.
There you go.
Now here's the thing. You read this, I would not disagree with the man who say, I believe there's still this here still to come to pass physically.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. I'm of that ilk. But anybody who tells you that Jesus Christ is coming back to tread the wine press of the wrath of God, that he's coming back to rule the nations with a rod of iron, he rules as sovereignly now as he ever shall, even in bodily presence.
Amen.
Now, do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, somebody says it says shall. Christ also said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
Mm-hmm.
Does he mean that nobody had come to him yet?
Exactly.
Now, come on. That's what I'm saying. Be honest with the book. Don't make the book fit your system. Read the book for what it says in all of its parts.
Yes, sir.
All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That means absolute certainty and it means future. But it doesn't rule out the past. That all that the Father had already given him had already come to him, Joe.
That's right.
Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But one of these days he'll rule with a rod of iron. You telling me he's going to be more sovereign then than he is now? But I've heard us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've heard us say that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, boy, he'll rule the nation with a rod of iron then. He does right now.
Amen. Exactly.
Yeah. You believe that, Mason?
Yes, sir.
You don't believe he's absolutely sovereign?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Then how could he be any more sovereign?
Exactly.
The only answer the book gives us is this. He will show who is the only potentate. Right now, the inhabitants of this earth don't know it.
Exactly.
But one day he will show it.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the same. It's what the notes say.
Yeah.
It's what the book says.
Yep.
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and even when this literally takes happen, if that's what the truth of the book is, Joe, he's going to be no different.
Exactly.
And going to be doing things no differently.
Amen.
Then, as he is doing now.
That's right.
Now, here's why I say this. Jesus Christ is our salvation, and everything around us, if you watch the news, I know some of you say, I can't watch the news. I've got no problem with it. Because when I watch the news about what happened yesterday, I'm seeing exactly what my God purposed to happen yesterday.
Exactly right.
I get upset. But why do I get upset? Because deep down in here, I'm upset with God.
Yeah.
Because if it was me, if I was God, I would not have done it that way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would have not have suffered that to happen. If you ever said, well, boy, I don't understand how somebody can do that.
Yeah.
You know what we're actually saying?
Mm-hmm.
If that was me, I wouldn't have done that. Because if God's ever shown you what you really are, the problem is we forget really easy. We know, there goes I.
That's exactly right.
You could be the one with the rifle in your hand going into a school building shooting up kids if God Almighty didn't restrain you. And you hear me and me hear myself wail. It is only the restraint of His rod of iron right now.
Amen.
And if He lifts it off for a moment,
yeah,
we'll be just like a Judas.
Right.
Or just like a Peter.
Yeah.
And I pray, God, if I'm at least a Peter.
Yeah,
what about you?
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah.
See, I'm saying, folks, don't get caught up on your system.
Yeah.
Get caught up on the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because I'm going to tell you, God has humbled my soul in the past couple of years. And a lot of things I thought I know, I realize I know nothing. And is that not exactly what the book admonishes us to remember? He that thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to. Now, you do know some things.
Yes, sir.
But bless God, you better hope you know the one.
Amen.
Because no matter how many things you know, if you don't know the one, you're going to be on the outside of the ark and you'll perish.
Amen.
All I'm saying is this, let's not get caught up with the systems. Oh, God, help us to be caught up with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because David writes, he'll have his way. Even if my system is wrong.
Amen.
He'll have his way.
Amen.
Now, think about this. Christ only treads and will ever tread the winepress of the wrath of God.
Amen.
Everyone else will be under it. Mason, he treaded it. And he suffered.
Yes, sir.
Joe just preached about that. He suffered. But Joe, he came out gloriously.
Amen.
On the other end. And God raised him from the dead. Several days later, brought him back up to himself and said, sit down right here. Till I make your enemies your footstool.
Amen.
You see, what he's going to do here at the end, what he will do in the end, and he's going to do something in the end.
Yes.
We all agree on that.
Oh, yeah.
What he's going to do on the end is exactly what he purposed to do and what he's working toward even right now.
Amen.
Even right now. Secondly, Hebrews 1 and 3 tells us that Christ alone purged our sins. And it actually says it this way. When he had by himself purged our sins. We didn't bat an eyelid and help toward it.
Amen.
It wasn't in expectation of our faith and repentance. While we were yet enemies, shaking our fist in God's face, it says Christ died for us.
Amen.
When he had by himself purged our sins, what that mean? They're gone.
Yeah.
He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
Amen.
Our Noah did it all himself.
Amen.
He treads the wide press of the wrath of God only. He's the only one that's ever done that. He alone purged our sins. He alone reconciled sinners to God by His death.
Amen.
You can't believe enough to get God to reconcile you to Himself.
That's exactly right.
You can't even believe Jesus Christ enough to get God to reconcile you to Himself.
Right.
You can't even believe grace, free, reigning, sovereign grace, enough to get God to reconcile you to Himself.
Amen.
He reconciled us to God by Himself when He died on that tree.
Amen.
Now, the believing is, do I bow to that or not?
There you go. Amen.
Do I believe He did that or not?
Amen.
That is belief and unbelief.
Yeah.
You don't add anything to it. You either believe it or you don't.
Amen.
Either believe it or you don't. You see, it's important that you believe these things are already done.
Mm-hmm.
Not that He made it possible for something else to make it be done. Do you believe it's already done? John puts it this way. Do we believe the record God gave of His Son? Now, if this book says that He reconciled me when He died, Joe, I either believe that or I don't. That's either faith in Christ or it's unbelief. It is to, what do you say, refuse. To refuse. Thirdly, no, I'm sorry, that was the third one. Remember, He treads the winepress of the wrath of God.
Amen.
If you and I ever try to tread that wrath will be crushed under it. He purged our sins. My best repentance will never purge one sin.
Exactly. Yeah.
And Christ reconciles sinners to God by His death. Here's the fourth one. Christ alone intercedes as mediator.
Amen.
As mediator. A mediator, I guess, is a go-between.
That's right.
And I do love, I can't think of his name now, but the preacher from Kentucky, up near Don. And he said this one time, and this just struck me. I like this. He said, Jesus Christ is the only man that can lay his hands on God and not be consumed.
Mm-hmm.
And lay his hands on a sinner and not be defiled.
Amen.
And then bring the two together in himself.
Amen.
I like that. That's I don't know if he stole that from somebody else, but it was a good theft. And I'm stealing it from him now. That's the truth, folks. He's the only man to get a hold of God and not be consumed. Get a hold of a sinful creature like me and then bring God, the holy God, and this corrupt sinner together. Where, though? Not out here. In here.
In
here.
That's it.
In himself. Mm. We're told to intercede for one another, but we cannot mediate for one another. Think about that.
Yeah.
I can't bring you to God.
Exactly.
He did when he died.
Amen.
Huh? We're to intercede. We're to pray for one another. Go to God and beg God, oh God, do this for us. Do this for them. But I can't mediate it.
Exactly.
There is one mediator between God and men. The man. One.
Amen.
Salvation wrought by what? One.
Amen.
That's number four. Here's number five. Even our willingness depends upon Him. Willingness to bow.
Amen.
Willingness to believe. Willingness to repent. Yes, willingness to continue. Willingness to persevere. Why? Because in the day of His power. And who?
Amen.
Melchizedek.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. And it's thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. That one.
Amen.
That one. And sixthly, He, Christ, shall return to gather us.
Yes.
Isn't that what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians? The Lord Himself.
Amen.
I know there are passages that says He's going to send these holy angels, but He's talking about something else there.
Yeah.
Because it says, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord Himself shall come down with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and He is the archangel. You can't have but one archangel.
Mm-hmm.
Is He not the angel of God?
Yeah.
So He's got to be the ark. You can't have two archangels. Arc slash archangel. Huh? Second hand archangel. It don't fit. No. With the voice, the trump of God, and He is going to raise the dead in Christ first.
Amen.
And immediately, before they even go up, Joe, something, well, they're changed, and they're starting to come up. Everyone else who's in Christ shall be immediately changed. Paul calls it, says it, in a blink of an eye. And then we'll both go up together to meet who?
Yeah.
The one. The one. The one that's done it all.
Amen.
He's done it all. He's done it all. Mm. The Lord, I like, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven.
Amen.
Joe, He will get up off that throne.
Yes, sir.
And come back and gather us to Himself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Joe, it really don't matter when that happens. Because I know it'll happen exactly when God Almighty ordained for it to happen.
Exactly.
And that lets me know, that whole passage lets me know, whether I die before He comes,
exactly,
or whether I'm alive when He comes, if I'm in Him, it'll all be okay.
Amen. That's exactly.
And that's why Paul says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Not all the other system. Don't try to get it all lined out. Comfort one another with what? These words. The Lord Himself will come back and get us all.
That's exactly.
Gather us to Himself.
Amen.
And what does He say? And so shall we ever be with the One.
Amen.
The One. Think of it. Noah. What's his name mean? Rest. But not rest for him. He had no rest.
Uh-uh.
He was building and preaching.
Uh-huh.
Now wasn't he?
Yeah.
Did Noah have any rest? He was building this massive ark, gathering up trees, making lumber, gathering provisions, pitching, putting tar on that thing inside and out. It had to be some scaffold on that thing, don't you matter?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
He did all the work. He made the window, Joe. He made the door. He made the door. But this is amazing. It says God shut the door.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? You know what that is? It's saying that God Almighty set His seal on this thing. This I approve of. God shut the door.
Amen.
Evidently, Joe, God must have sealed the cracks that went around that thing with pitch.
There you go.
Huh? Yeah. Noah's already on the inside of his family.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
You see the very presence of Noah in that ark. Now look at, go thou into the ark in thy house. Noah had to go in first.
Amen. That's right.
And is he not the one who entered in, according to the book of Hebrews, first?
Yep.
He's the forerunner.
There you go.
And as Earl used to say, he's the one who heralds, the rest are coming.
There you go.
Because I'm here.
Amen.
The rest are coming because I'm here. Noah's name means rest, but it wasn't rest for him. But it was to help us in our depravity. And isn't that the very thing that his daddy called him?
Yeah.
Chapter 5, verse 29, and he called his name Noah, saying this same. Now, not another person, not one other one.
Right.
You see it? This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because our work and our hands is under the curse.
That's
you
right.
See what it says?
Yeah.
Because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed.
Amen.
When I put my hand to anything, even when God's working in me, both the will and the do is good pleasure, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. But even when I put my hand to it, I in some way defile all of it.
You're right.
I defile all of it. It's only accepted by God because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Noah means rest. Noah's rest was his family's salvation.
That's right.
Through him doing the work, not resting.
Amen.
He did the work so they could be saved.
Exactly.
I love that. And again, if that don't float your boat, you're either sitting on dry land or you don't have a boat.
There you go.
That's the gospel. Noah secured his. Christ secured his family's salvation. Christ did all the work. And think about it. Noah gathered all the provisions. If you ever thought, well, I'll just help God out in this matter. And it falls to powder in your hands. Ever had that happen? This falls to powder in your hands. Now, God lets you lay your hand on that. For what reason? To show you that it will fall to powder in your hands. Go back and read it. God told Noah, you go get the provisions for you, your family, and all the animals.
That's right.
That's what I told him. Our Lord shall supply all our needs.
Amen.
You know what it says?
Yeah.
Well, I've got to go out and I'm going to get me the right job. You will have the job God Almighty ordains for you to have.
Yeah, exactly right.
Or you won't have one if God Almighty ordains it.
That's right.
You won't have a stick of butter in your refrigerator unless God Almighty provides it for you.
Amen.
You won't have the toilet tissue to do what you know with toilet tissue unless God Almighty provides it for you. We need to be grateful to God for everything.
Amen.
Because everything we have comes to us in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
By Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Through Christ Jesus. Because of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Joe, if it's my soul's salvation or the healing up of this little old blood blister that I got on my finger a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
That Neil, that it don't turn to gangrene and rot my finger off and then start eating up my arm. He provides that.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
If I get the antibiotic to put on it before the infection gets too bad, who gave men the wisdom to make something like that?
Exactly.
Christ did.
Amen.
Christ did. Thank God we have both Noah, that is rest, and Ark, that is safety.
Amen.
Christ is both Noah and Ark to us.
Yeah.
He's all of it.
Yeah.
Amen. He's the provisions, Joe. He's the window.
Yep.
He's the door.
Amen.
He's the pitch.
Yeah. Exactly.
Think about this. That box, at least, it was just a box. I mean, we're not even told as though it had a bow or anything. It's just a box. This high, this wide, this long, right? Wind in the top, that's a hole. It was covered.
Yep.
Keep the rain out. And a door in the side. Shut up by God.
Exactly.
Right? Three stories on the inside. But it was pitched within and without with pitch. Here you go. You have rest in a box that is absolutely, when you look at it, all you see is pitch.
Yeah.
So what's that mean? The word pitch in the Hebrew is atonement.
There you go.
It's the same word used, atonement. You see, if you don't see the atonement, if you don't get the atonement on you, then you ain't in the ark.
That's right.
Exactly.
Right? If you're a part of Noah's family, if you're a part of Christ's family, he's going to take you into the ark. And since it's pitched within and without, Mason, I figure when they walked up that door, that was probably a game plank as well. And they were walking on the pitch.
There you go.
When they lived in it and they ate their provisions, Mac, they were pitch all over them.
Yeah.
Everywhere. You can't get away from the atoning work of Jesus Christ. Amen. If he brought you in the ark, you're going to get pitch all over you.
Amen.
And you know what that does? It reminds you.
Yeah.
I'm in the ark.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I'm in the ark. Let's stand and sing number 133. It is old school. I'm sorry, 133 in the old school.